Hey guys, before we get started on today's episode, if you are looking to start a side business, maybe you are interested in bringing in some extra income so you can fund your passion projects, those things that you feel called to do. In this podcast, we talk about step up, use your voice, make an impact. But sometimes podcasting or writing books or blogging and all that stuff takes a little bit to bring in some income. So maybe you want some creative ideas of ways you can fund the work that you're so passionate about. Listen, I have three ideas for you. These are ideas that I have personally used that's going to help you come up with the perfect side business idea. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes, or you can go to Heather Parady, PARADY.com/side hustle. Again, that is Heather Parady, PARADY.com/side hustle. Or again, the easiest way is just click the link in the show notes and I'll send you over three ideas that I've personally used over the past few years that bring in extra streams of income online. All right, guys, let's get into today's episode.
Who am I to say that I have all the answers? As someone who has always tried to have all the answers, who feels lesser than when I don't have all the answers, who am I to have all the answers? And why am I so quick to shun someone else for viewing God differently?
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with several qualities.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
Hey guys, connecting with my very dear friends, Cody and Elaine Johnson. You guys may remember Cody from like 2 years ago. He was like one of my first guests on my podcast. And then I interviewed Elaine a few months ago. So I've had both of them separate, never together. So I know this is going to be an even better episode because I just adore both of them. They're doing incredible work in the world and have been a huge support for me in the work that I want to do. And yeah, we're going to talk about just kind of some heavy stuff. Cody and Elaine, I'll let you guys introduce yourself, what you do. But today we're just really going to be talking about being honest with your feelings and having questions about your beliefs. I know there's been several conversations that I've had with you guys where you're like, Heather, I want to step out, use my voice, make an impact in this world. But I know that Aunt Susie over here and Uncle Bob and the guy down the road are going to give me some crap about it because I'm not the same person that I used to be. And I've evolved and I've changed and I have questions and doubts. And how can I live authentically and use my voice and share my message when I know it's going to upset some people and offend them? And I wanted to have Cody and Elaine on because they are in the midst of that themselves with their brand and their work and their podcast. And I'll let them introduce themselves. I'll let them share what they're up to in the world. But Cody, Elaine, what's up? How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having us. It's an honor to be on this side of things. So I really, really appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. So I'm Cody.
I'm Elaine.
And we are the hosts of The Reckless Pursuit, among other things. So The Reckless Pursuit is a community. It's a podcast. It's a community. It's a group for people who have gone through deconstruction, primarily being that our background is Christian, my background is in ministry and stuff like that. So we are for the people who are spiritual outcasts and nomads in that space. And so it's very interesting because I come from an extremely, I'll use the word religious because I think that's appropriate, a religious upbringing, maybe not even like directly with my family, but just I went into ministry and like I've been just super involved in church and most of my life growing up. And so I was very judgmental and I just had this mindset that my way was the right way and this and that. And as I got older and the more I was active in ministry, I started kind of, I guess the term that is used most often is deconstructing a lot of those mindsets to the point of, you know, there's been times where I've walked away from church completely. Whenever I was a teenager, when I was in my first deconstruction, I got into some witchcraft and stuff like that. And got out of that, back into church again, threw my life back into it again, got out of it again for the same kind of reasons of just like getting burnout, getting hurt, et cetera, et cetera. And realizing there's more than one way to kindle a fire, or I guess to put that in other terms, there's more than one way to find God. And I'm not here to get into, this is not what this is for, is not getting into the dogma, because you start saying that kind of stuff and people just like explode on you. But we're for the people who have questions about faith, about creation, about what it is to have a relationship with God, what that even looks like outside the confines of this traditional church system that has become very controlling, very, it's just religious. That's the only word I know how to use. It's just, it's stifled the life out of the spirituality. So Elaine, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So I have a slightly different background. So I grew up, quote, Christian, but we never went to church other than on Easter up until I was in high school. And so that was just kind of like, we prayed and read the Bible, but that was it. And then whenever I was in high school, I joined a youth group and was super involved. My youth pastor was actually open about questions and always encouraged me to ask questions. And anytime I had a question about the Bible or faith or anything, he would always say like, well, what do you feel about it? Or what is God speaking to you? So I was raised more open and taught that it was okay to have questions. But with that, I kind of was like, okay, well, I'm free to open questions, but I never really explored that side of things of like, I have the freedom to ask questions, but I never really asked questions. And then, you know, we got together and there was a lot of church hurt with those experiences. Just really, for me specifically, really stepping out into those questions that I've always had or things that don't sit right with me, whether it be about Bible stuff or church leaders, and just really proclaiming, you know, those problems, but also speaking it life into how we can change those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for me, and I think a lot of people, asking questions is one thing, but I think the fear of ostracizing yourself from a community is what's the hardest, because, and I've shared this, guys, with you privately before, but, you know, for me, church was my family, because if, you know, when I was in high school and stuff, I didn't really have a kind of family unit that I really needed. And so I kind of sought solitude there where I'm like, hey, these people are literally my family. And when you grow up in that, when you are in that community and you have these relationships, and a lot of times people who are really hurt, you know, seek that refuge there, bringing up these questions and saying, hey, I don't know what I believe about this and that and this and that, I think the instant fear that comes in my mind is, I don't want to hurt these people. I don't want to offend these people. I don't want to separate myself from these people, because we're so desperate for community. We need to feel loved and validated and have that. And pulling yourself away from that is one of the most painful things I've been through. And I know you guys have experienced it too. And I think what keeps a lot of people back from just being honest, because a lot of people have questions, but they keep their mouths shut because of that separation. They don't want to be outcast from the church. Can you speak to that? What's your experience?
Yeah, for sure. So the number one thing that keeps people in church is community. Church is good at establishing things for people to get involved in. It's a pillar to most every religion, right? Community. Isolation is dangerous for humanity. It leads to it leads to bad things. Like we're designed, we are created, we have evolved into being a community-based creature. So we need each other. And whenever you grow up in a religious home or you get involved in a religious institution, one of the hardest things whenever you start having these questions is to to do what you just said. It's hard to express them because most of the time, let's just be honest, we all have questions. Every person on earth has questions. Jesus had questions. His last statement on earth, if you read the Bible, is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a question. I believe it's in Jude. It says, be patient with those who doubt. Like, this is a common thing. It's not frowned upon, but we've made it frowned upon because we like to keep things simple. And honestly, people that ask questions, it makes people have to think, right? People have to try to find answers, and we feel like we have to have answers to everything. So we all have questions. It's just a large percentage of us are scared to ask them because of that very thing. We're scared of being cut off, or we're scared. A lot of times whenever you ask someone a question and they don't have the answer for it, it makes them feel inferior, not because of your question, but because our natural Western mindset of, I have to know all the answers, right? We're that way in business. We're that way at school. You're bullied if you're, if you're considered, you know, not intelligent enough, or if you miss a stupid or say something dumb in class, you're bullied for it as a kid. Or at work, if you make a common mistake, a lot of times bosses will actually demean you. That's crappy of a boss to do. Mind you, it's terrible leadership, right? But it happens all the time. We're bullied, we're picked on for minor mistakes or for thinking outside the box. We're constantly taught all the same way to conform to a certain belief. And it's no different than religion because it's easier that way. It's so much easier to teach a group of people that agree with you than it is to teach someone who is always going to question why you think. I mean, imagine writing a speech and then afterward having a panel of people tear it apart and tell you all you've done wrong. It's hard. And so we naturally want to be agreed with. And so we end up not asking these questions publicly because maybe we do these little feeler questions, right? We have these little things we ask. We get the same generic answers. Maybe we just don't really agree with that. But we're kind of just told, well, that's just the way God is. Or we're given these gloss over statements of like, well, it's in the Bible, or this is the way this is meant to be taken. And so we're shut down. And whether we realize it or not, we have these moments in our life where we are stopped from asking these questions. And it's implied that either we conform or our opinions are going to be pushed back, or we're going to be, I guess a churchy term would be, we're goats, right? Goat among sheep, or wolves among sheep, because we have these questions. And that goes against our very nature. No one wants to be cut out from the group. And whenever you're so involved in faith, something as intimate as your beliefs, right? There's nothing more intimate than your beliefs. Your beliefs are what make up your soul. It's what makes up who you are. And so whenever you start changing those around, the fear of losing that community, and honestly, the people who go through deconstruction and walk away from church completely, the biggest thing they lack is that community. It's a terrifying thing.
And that's why a lot of people actually stay in abusive relationships, specifically with the church. They stay at those churches where the leadership and pastors abuse them because they so badly want that community, even if it's a perceived community. And they all may have the same questions, but they're not going to ask them because, you know, they're afraid of being cast out from that community. Even if it wasn't a strong community to begin with, at least it looks like they have friends and family and people praying over them and stuff. But as soon as they start going against the status quo or going against the grain or have a weird question that maybe everyone is already questioning, once you're bold and brave with that and ask that question, oh, then you're a heretic and you need to be kicked out of the church.
Right. So what does deconstruction mean? Tell me what that means. How's that defined?
So to me, the way I find it best described is think of a house, an old, old house. It's a house that's been around for a long time. You can look at it as kind of a parallel to maybe the institution of church or your upbringing or whatever that is. And you go in and you're like, man, all of a sudden you just realize how broken your house is. Maybe you have leaky pipes. You have drywall falling off over here. You know, the ceiling is sagging. You're like, I need to do a remodel. And so you start stripping things off. And what happens is most of the time, the more you start stripping something off, it's like, oh, well, you took off this piece of drywall. Oh, well, the reason this drywall is falling off is because mice got in and ate the insulation. So now you have to take the insulation out. Oh, well, now there's some rot over here. So now you have to re-roof the thing. And sooner or later, you're tearing it down all the way to the studs. And it's just a shell left. It's still you. It's still your beliefs. But you're realizing there's so much that just doesn't click with you. That now you're having to rebuild from the ground up. And so I think the term deconstruction literally means to take apart a central belief you have to the point of getting out all of the junk that doesn't sit right to reconstruct, which is the ultimate goal, right? To reconstruct, to come to a more stable foundation to build back into something that is more livable, that is more sustainable and more life-giving.
What would you say, either one of you, is the hardest belief that you've had to deconstruct, and you saw that it was old and falling apart and needed to be reworked, but actually tearing it down and rebuilding it up has been one of the most painful and difficult things for you to do?
For me, one of the things that I don't even think I was taught this in church. I think this is just something that I heard a lot, but that people who committed suicide were going to hell. And just like that, just it never sat right with me, because if they felt they were being tormented on earth, why would they be punished for trying to escape that? Why would they be punished to try to escape that torment? And so that's one of the biggest things that I've kind of come to realize is like, that's not of God. That's not love. And just really trying to understand where even that idea came from.
Specifically with that, I think it's like the notion, like, of course, no one, we would hope no one would commit suicide, yeah. But like the whole notion of like, I've actively heard someone tell someone else whose child committed suicide, like, oh, well, you know, we regret the loss of your child's soul because they're going mm-hmm. to hell for that action or something like that. And I think actually that ties into my biggest one is really, it turned into deconstructing hell and a lot of other things, but really just the mentality we carry on ourselves, right? A lot of times and I speak specifically for Christianity, I know other religions can attribute to this too, but we're just dirty. We're just dirty, filthy, sinner, disgusting creatures. And that is just, we're taught that so much. And I had this realization one day of like, so if the Bible speaks of the power of our words, if that is biblical, you know, that's not even like New Agey, right? That's as traditionally biblical as you can get, is like the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so if that is the case, then we are speaking death into ourselves. We're literally speaking death and manifesting this sickness into us by constantly saying, oh, we're just filthy, we're just dirty. But thank God for Jesus. Well, how powerful was that action? How powerful is the religion that we say that we subscribe to? Why do we not give it the authority that we claim it has? And so I really just had to start deconstructing that, because whenever I started viewing myself as actually I'm righteous, I'm loved, I'm bigger than the problems or the errors of my ways. Sure, we all make mistakes. But those mistakes don't define me as a human. I'm defined by something greater than that. And I felt like that helped me quit making mistakes. The moment I started taking on that positive mindset and deconstructing all the old, you're dirty, you're worthless crap, I felt like my whole life started to change. And that's whenever I really started, okay, well, now I'm going to deconstruct hell. Well, if I don't believe this, then how do I believe that?
One of the most difficult things about all of this, is we talked about at the beginning, is the other people. And mm-hmm. I know you guys get misunderstood a whole lot. And what's interesting to me is if we all sat down in a big room, the whole world, and we all had a little cup of coffee, and we, you know, chilled out a little bit, we just talked to each other, I feel like a lot of the people will be saying a lot of the same things. We're using different language. And we're all, I think, a lot more on the same page than what we realize, but there's such high defenses with certain keywords and language that you use and just trigger words. And it's really kind of just hyper tense. And I know through that, a lot of times you're just not really listened to and heard. And we were just talking before this interview about an interview you just came out with where people aren't even listening to it. They just see these trigger words and they're like, what? You're questioning hell? What? You're, you know, just these things. And they don't listen to you. And they might completely agree with you if they just listened. And so I wanted to ask you about, this takes a lot of security and inner strength to come forth and question some of these things, because you know you're going to be misunderstood. You know people are going to get upset with you. You know you're going to get DMs. You know that Aunt Margaret down the road is going to be pissed at you. Like, how have you guys been able to kind of create a space within you of security where you're willing to address some of these issues on a public platform and not really be just disheartened through it?
Well, just, we want to give a voice to the voiceless, to people who have been kicked out or shunned, you know, as bad as it is, there was a reason why they were kicked out. And we want to know that reason. We want to know those questions. We want to have those conversations that they weren't able to have with other people. And just the biggest thing is if you're already questioning, if we're already questioning things, what do we have to lose? You know, there are people who have lost their families and friends because of being kicked out of the church. And we just want to open up the conversation that they were never able to have.
So to me, I had to go through a phase, and it's really, it's growth. It's constant growth, right? It's not just like a single like moment in my life, but I kind of came to the point in realizing this is something that, I'm sure you've heard it before. Something my dad told me growing up that stuck with me, that it's, you know, you can please some of the people most of the time, most of the people some of the time, but you'll never please all of the people all of the time. Mm-hmm. And if you spend your life trying to please everyone, you're going to please no one. And to take that one step further, you're never going to find your true pleasure in life either. You're never going to fulfill the purpose you feel in your life. And even more so, if you want to take it to a spiritual level, that's not pleasing to God. You're not pleasing to the higher being. You're not pleasing to the spirit itself, right? Because you are trying to conform yourself to everyone else's view. But if we were designed to all be the same, we wouldn't be created different. We wouldn't be created unique. And some people that need a more rigid faith structure in their life, maybe they've come out of things in their life and they need that. I've had to come to a place recently where I've just had to be willing to agree to disagree and to not take things personal. And I think that's a huge thing. When you start questioning things, it's so easy to like, oh man, well, all these people just don't understand where I'm at. But then when you flip that and realize these people are taught that they should be afraid for your soul right now. They should be completely afraid of where you're going. You know, they see it as like, you're being, you know, it's there's a comic strip by a friend of ours, the Naked Pastor, David Hayward. And it's like a picture of what the church sees when someone deconstructs. And it's like Satan carrying them away over his shoulder with his pitchfork. And then it's like what we see. And it's like his mind is growing, right? And so to those people, and the reason you feel like you're being attacked is because it's our nature. Whenever we feel like we don't have the answer, kind of going back to what I said, like you instantly feel as if you're being attacked. We have to be so careful to just not take things personally and realize it's okay that those people may not understand you. That doesn't mean you have to dislike them. That doesn't, they don't have to understand you. And that was a hard thing for me because I'm a teacher by nature. Like it's what I love doing. And so I want to express to people, I want to show people like, this is why I feel this way. And some people just aren't going to get it mm-hmm. because they're not where you're at, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so how do you be brave and you speak up like that? You just realize that you have to be authentic to yourself, because if you're not being authentic to yourself, you're denying what you were created to be.
Mm. What have you learned about God and the nature of God through this process?
For me, it's that God's a lot more open that we like create him to be in our minds, and that we often put God in a box and say like, well, God could never do this, or God can't do that, or God is only this to this person, but that there's actually a whole lot more freedom and creative expression and how we see God. And if you see God and worship music and going to church every Sunday and that works for you, that's great. But if you, instead of going to that typical church service, you're running every Sunday morning or hiking or painting or kickboxing, and that's how you feel close to God, like that's okay if that works for you. And just understanding that not everyone is going to have the same routine or rituals or relationship with God, and that's okay. They're not bad if it's different.
Right.
Can I use like the dumbest church analogy ever? Like, can I throw like dumb scripture around?
No. Yes.
Okay. So in Revelation, we're getting deep here. I'd use the Revelation word. So in Revelation, it talks about these creatures made entirely of eyes. Now, I've come to understand this a little differently. I don't actually believe in literal creatures made of eyes anymore. There's a whole other science and study to that. But, and it says, in like the Bible that we, you know, Christians use, that they circle around since creation began and for eternity, And every single eye is always learning something new about God, and they fall down and worship. Huh. Yet here we are with our two or three little tenets thinking we have all the answers. Yet the Bible is giving us an allegory here, right? Saying God is infinitely bigger. Creation, the whole, the oneness of, you know, spirit is so infinitely larger than any person will ever understand. You can take an eternity, and we have, I mean, like, think about it. Like, religion's been around since man started rubbing sticks together, so, or before. And we have always been learning, yet we still do not agree. The more we learn, the more division it creates, because we all latch on to these separate aspects of who or what God is. And so the biggest thing for me is just realizing that who am I to say that I have all the answers? Mm-hmm. As someone who has always tried to have all the answers, who feels lesser than when I don't have all the answers, who am I to have all the answers? And why am I so quick to shun someone else for viewing God differently?
Yeah. Well, I adore both of you with an underline underneath that word. Where can people connect with you, listen to your podcast? I know you guys just launched a new media business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So the first thing is you can find us at thereclesspursuit.com. It's all one word, thereclesspursuit.com. There you can find pretty much everything. I mean, we have a private Facebook group. When I say private, I mean, you have to agree not to be a jerk to enter it. And but it's open to whoever wants to join. It's called Nomads. You can find that on thereclesspursuit.com too. I have another podcast. It's more historical and kind of campfire tales-y, kind of around the Bible. So if Bible like knowledge stuff is your thing, which Heather, I know you're so into.
So into it.
History and Bible knowledge. That's like your kryptonite, right? So you can go and find that there too. Elaine's launching a new podcast that is right up Heather's alley and probably more to your audience. So you can go get on a mailing list for that to be notified whenever that comes out. And so there's all that. We have a media production company. So if you are a podcaster and you are sick and tired of having to edit your own audio, you want to up your, social sharing? Mm-hmm. I wanted to say graphics.
Repurpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just your content and what you share out. We want to try to make that easy for you.
And it's not Christian specific either.
No.
It's way more open
than that. It is purpose specific. You have to have a purpose. You have to be trying to do positive things. We're very specific on that type of clientele, but I don't think we'll have an issue with that with her listenership, right? So if you want to find that, you can head over to recklessmedia.co. We do free podcast audits just to try to help you get on your feet. And we have a group called Purpose Driven Podcasters where you can get in there and we go live and we just try to answer questions. And it's just a community for people who are trying to make a positive change in the world. So
what do you guys do in your spare time?
We sleep. We try to cook dinner.
Like 500 million things going on. That's incredible. I love it. Guys, I want you to find The Reckless Pursuit on iTunes. I want you to scroll down to the bottom, leave a 5-star review and put some awesome words there for these guys. Check out their show. Their work. It's amazing. All that will be linked in the show notes. Very last question. Let's fast forward or rewind time back to, man, I used to go to church with you guys. Listeners don't even know that. We used to sit in the same pew and stand in the sound booth and have these conversations and go on hikes together and wrestle with some of this stuff before we kind of got microphones in front of us and decided to go public. So we go way, way back. And I remember just kind of the earlier conversations. You know, when you're in this space of you're going through the motions and you're feeling this tug on your heart where you're just like, oh, there's more, Cody. Oh, there's more, Elaine. This isn't the path. This isn't the right avenue for you right now. Like, branch off, do your thing, use your voice, make an impact. But then there was still that resistance. And you may even remember like this time. I don't know what year it was for you. I know it was slow unraveling. But if you were to go back and just sit with yourself in that moment and tell yourself one thing right before you took this leap that you guys have, what would you tell them?
Oh, man. You want to go first on this?
No, you can't.
Okay. So for me, and this is very, very intimate to me, actually, I knew I was supposed to take that leap for a long time, and I didn't. I sat on it for 2.5-3 years, knowing good and well that I was supposed to take that leap. The problem is when you don't, and this is something I would tell myself back there, the longer you wait when you know you're supposed to do something, the more uncomfortable it gets. And I don't mean uncomfortable as in like, oh, I really know I need to do this. I mean, you start getting bitter toward your friends, towards your work. Like it starts, your job starts to become this burden. You start to lose spark in life. You start to get in arguments with your bosses and those who are, you know, you're supposed to be answering to if you're in a normal workplace job, right? Like everything around you, every relationship will suffer, and you are literally sowing anger and strife back into yourself and into your relationships because you're not acting on that. We have that spark. We have that purpose in us. And whenever you deny yourself of that, it literally chokes out the flame inside of you. And if you do it for too long, just think, the smaller the fire gets, the more you have to fight to get it back up. The moment that I made the leap and the switch, there was a freedom I had not felt in years. And I was so afraid. I was so afraid. What about finances? What about security? All these like, you know, primal emotions that we just like this, that come back to like, am I going to be okay? The moment I called you, actually, I called Elaine, and then I called you when I was leaving this place within a 10-minute span. You were the first two people I talked to. And I literally said, I've never felt this free. It's like the pit of my stomach came unraveled. And it was like I saw the world with color again. And I don't know how to describe it. But if you're not making that leap, and this is what I would tell myself, you're robbing yourself of life and you only get one chance at it.
For me, I'm a very emotional person. And so I cling to emotions. And if I am having a high, I have a very high high or a really low low. And a lot of times I connect with people through their emotions. And so something that I would tell myself is to not get bitter, to not cling so tightly to other people's emotions, and that it's okay to understand their hurt and be there for them, but not to take on that bitterness and hurt myself, and to not take things personally. And if people don't understand, to not get angry with them, but to love them anyway, even if they don't understand, even if they never understand our hearts or our missions or us as you know, just human beings, and just to love them and not take things personally.
Amen.
I want to give a big shout out to Cody and Elaine for coming on today's episode. Make sure you check out their podcast, The Reckless Pursuit. You can find their community and all the things at thereclesspursuit.com. If you've gotten any value from this episode, or if you've been listening to the show for a while and enjoy what we're doing here, please consider taking a moment and leaving us an honest review on your Apple podcasting app or iTunes. Really, really appreciate your support. And speaking of support, if you want to connect with other like-minded, unconventional leaders, we would love, love, love to be in your corner. Find us on Facebook at Unconventional Leaders. All right, here's a clip for an upcoming episode. If you struggle at all with embarrassment or shame around admitting your dream or pursuing your passions, you're going to love this. Check it out. And so I asked her, I said, well, what are you afraid of? And she said something that just hit me to my core because I have felt it so deeply myself. She said, I'm afraid that no one will pay attention. And I'm afraid that when I put myself out there and no one's paying attention, I'm going to be so embarrassed. Wow. Wow. That is so relatable. Can you relate to that? And this is the truth, friends. When you put yourself out there for the first time, I don't care in what regards it is, going outside of the box, going against the grain, doing something a little bit different with your art, your work, your life, your voice, whatever it is, no one really is going to pay attention at first. And I wish I could tell you the opposite. I wish I could say, oh yes, everybody's going to love it, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is it's going to be awkward and it's going to feel weird and it's going to be really, really, really hard. How's that for a motivational speech? But it's the truth. And most people don't have the stomach to be able to handle that. And so they either A, never start, or B, they quit way, way, way too soon without realizing that this is what everyone goes through.